We're going to be in Ecclesiastes tonight, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're going to read just 4 verses together tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you are there or making your way there and you're able, would you stand with me as we read the scripture together tonight? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 9. The Bible says here, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I want to thank you for standing, but you can be seated. Our theme for the year as a church is perfectly joined together. That's our prayer, that the Lord would enable us as a church family to be joined together in the same mind, to have unity with one another, to serve the Lord together in a complete way, not just kind of everybody doing their own thing, but working together as a unit, as a team, as one body in Christ. And I came to this passage of Scripture and considered really how in this passage, Solomon, who's writing here, is kind of making a case for how much we need each other. God didn't create man to operate alone. That's not how God works. When God created Adam, He put him in the garden. He had made a creation that was good. Everything that was made, He said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And the first thing He said was not good is He said this, it is not good that the man should be alone. It was not God's purpose and God's plan for man to serve Him on his own. And so, in the New Testament, what has He done? He's given to us a church. He's not left us to ourselves. He's placed us within the body of Christ so that we can serve Him together. But one thing I have observed in my lifetime of being in church is that if we're just really honest, church can be really difficult. You ever notice that? Church is hard. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't blessings. One of the greatest blessings of my life is that God has allowed me to be part of a New Testament church to serve Him in. But that doesn't mean that it's without difficulty at times. Church can be hard. If you ever talk to Christians who are not in church, or maybe, you know, they attend church, but it's just not really a significant part of their life. It's something they do, you know, once or twice a week. They'll carve out some time, but it really doesn't, their life doesn't revolve around the church in the way that the Lord, I believe, desires for it to. One of the things that you can start kind of reading into as you talk to them is that they got out of church, or at least took a step back from their involvement in church, because it was just too hard. I just want to be honest tonight and recognize that sometimes church being, and I'm not talking about just, showing up for a service. I'm talking about being plugged in to the church in the way that God wants us to be plugged into the church. It comes at times with some friction and with some challenges. It can be a very laborious thing. Would you agree with me on that? There is much to do within a church. And sometimes it seems like those who are really willing to be involved, their plate is full, and yet things keep piling on. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I've felt that way before. Expectations get put on you, and sometimes you can start to feel more like Martha than Mary. Cumbered about much serving. Not really having time to just sit at Jesus' feet and choose that better thing, that good part. As much as you might want to, there's just too much to do. There are ministries that need workers. There's maintenance that needs to be done on the building. There's cleaning. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that need help in their day-to-day lives, in their family. They need help with things. There are financial needs that you give toward and give toward. And sometimes you can start to feel like whatever margin there was in your life is all taken up, and you don't have enough hours in the day to meet all the needs. And if you start really looking at your life, a lot of that is because of commitments that you've made within the church. That can wear on you after a while, can't it? Sometimes being plugged in to the New Testament church is emotionally draining. It's emotionally draining. One of the things that happens is we go through life together with people. And our lives get intertwined with their lives. And pretty soon, everything that happens in the lives of other people within the church is starting to affect us, me. You ever felt that? One family is rejoicing in some victory, in some answered prayer, while another family is grieving over some tragedy. I can tell you a number of times, literally a number of times in my ministry where I have, during a weekday visitation, gone first to a hospice facility and sat down at the bedside of some dear saint that is dying, trying to give some comfort to their family, and left there to go to the hospital and join a family in welcoming their new child into the world. I mean, it's interesting. You feel all the emotions. You go through the highs and the lows. I mean, there are couples that I've counseled in premarital counseling and then sat with years later as they're on the brink of divorce. You feel those things. You start to struggle sometimes. I mean, you rejoice with those who rejoice. You weep with those who weep. And sometimes it just starts to become overwhelming because your life is wrapped up in other people. And when they're happy, you're happy. And when they're grieving, you're grieving. And it can be very taxing. And then, probably one of the biggest reasons that people end up kind of drawing back from their commitment to the church, being involved in the church, is that there is oftentimes real legitimate hurt that happens. When you open yourself up to other people, you open your life up to other people, know this, they will fail you. They will hurt you. Sometimes it's unkind words. Sometimes it's things that are said behind your back. Sometimes it's just some kind of an issue that arises and feelings get hurt. Sometimes there's betrayal. And then, if we're honest, it hurts when we see God add to the body and then we see people walk away. We've had a few families recently that have moved on for various reasons. And, you know, I pray for them. I want what's best for them. I don't hold ill will toward them. But it hurts. It's hard. Sometimes it seems like it would just be easier to either not be in church or to maybe be a very nominal church member. If I'm being completely honest with you, there have been times that I've had a little bit of envy toward those people who just, you know, show up on Sunday morning and do their duty, and then the rest of the week they just kind of live their life, and it would be easier. It'd be easier, would it not? But that's not what God's intended for us. It's not good that the man should be alone. It's not good that the child of God should try to do this on their own. And a lot of times the excuse that begins to take place and with people as they try to justify why they're not really committed to church is this: well, you know, I don't really need a church. I don't need to be accountable to people. I don't really need to be, you know, fed in that way. I've got God. I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit in my life. Why do I need other people anyway? Because God said so. Because God said so. This is how God has designed it. We are to serve Him together. We are not to do this on our own. We are to serve Him as those who are perfectly joined together in the same mind, fulfilling and accomplishing the purpose that God has called us to. And so Solomon here in this passage, and I understand that this isn't just about church in general, it's about relationships and those kinds of things, but it certainly applies to the New Testament church. And I want to just kind of go through this passage together tonight and show you that he uses four arguments, four reasons why we need one another. You know what's interesting? If you were to just do a search of the phrase one another in the Bible, you'd find, I think it's something like 54 times it shows up in the whole Bible. 41 of those are in the New Testament alone. One another. Much of the Christian life is about one another. We're not to do this on our own. And he gives four reasons here tonight that two are better than one. Not being alone. It's better to have two than one. Here's why. Number one, because of efficiency. Look what he says in verse number 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. There's something about it. I don't quite understand it, but it's just the way that God has designed it. When you have more than one set of hands working together in concert with one another, much more gets accomplished than even two individuals could do on their own. When two people who are on the same page are working together in the way that they ought to, it is a force multiplier. There is a benefit to working together. And the New Testament principle of this is team ministry. Have you ever looked at the New Testament and seen God doesn't send people out just on their own? He doesn't just send them out on their own. Jesus sent the 12 two by two. He sent out the 70 two by two. Look at Paul's ministry. You know what you find? He always had a team with him everywhere he went. He had people that were helping him. He had people that he was training and preparing for ministry. And it was somewhat transient. People would come and go. But he essentially never worked alone. Why? Because there is a benefit to having co-laborers in the work. You will accomplish far more. I remember when I first step out of the secular work world into vocational ministry, I was put on staff at the church as an outreach director. And so as an outreach director, I coordinated, you know, outreach times that we'd go to get together and do different things. And I mapped out the city and, you know, kind of kept track of where we'd been and different things we'd done and all of that. But a big portion of what I did, because, I mean, if you figure a 40-hour work week, that doesn't take up 40 hours. So a big portion of what I did was door-to-door visitation. And when you're doing door-to-door visitation in the middle of the week, during the weekday, guess how many people go with you? Zero. And I'm telling you, going door-to-door, telling people about Christ, it's a challenge no matter what, but man, when you are the only one and you are all alone, it's a whole lot harder. I remember times where somebody'd be really rude about things, really indifferent, or sometimes they'd curse you out or whatever. And I remember just walking away at times just discouraged. And it's not that that doesn't happen when you've got a partner with you, but here's the thing, when you got a partner with you, you know what you do? You kind of cheer each other up. Hey, it's going to be all right. Maybe you crack a little joke about it. Yeah, you know, you make fun of the guy, whatever, I don't know. But you cheer each other up, you encourage each other, and you keep pressing on. God didn't design us to do this on our own. Team ministry. And not only do we accomplish more and get more done when there's more than just us in the service of the Lord, but we get to enjoy the reward of the work together. Jesus said in John chapter 4 that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. They may rejoice together. You know what happens when we see God work and do some miraculous things, and he's done it through us. We play different roles in the work, but ultimately God gets the glory, and together we come together and we rejoice and we praise the Lord for the work that he has done. Why? Because we're not to do this on our own. God didn't call you to serve him alone. This is a team sport, if I can put it that way. There's kind of an old saying that goes around. I'm sure you've heard it. It's a tongue-in-cheek thing where you'll hear someone say, boy, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. That sounds good. You kind of chuckle about it until you find that you have a ministry with no people, and then that's not so fun. We're to serve one another. And so we're to work together, we're to serve together, and he says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. There's efficiency in the work when we work together. But not only is this important because of efficiency, it's important because of encouragement. Look what it says in verse number 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. There have been times that I've been out somewhere. Probably one of the better examples of this would be like being out hunting by myself on some public land way back in there. And as I'll be out there at times, I'll just have these thoughts that come to my mind. There's no cell service maybe, and man, if I were to fall and break my leg, what would I do? I mean, there's no one to send for help. There's no one to help me out of here. You know, what would happen? I'm all alone. And there's something about that when you've got someone there to help you up, that's a good thing, but understand this, that's not just in a physical sense. Sometimes in life and sometimes in serving the Lord, we fall down. We fall into sin. We fall away from the Lord. We fall into discouragement. And you know what we need? We need someone to help us up. We need someone to come alongside of us and maybe call out some sin in our life. That's not exactly a pleasant thing. Most of us don't just enjoy that or welcome that if somebody comes to us and confronts us on something. But I will tell you this, that you have no greater friends than those who will tell you the truth. And those who will come to you and lovingly and honestly say, hey, listen, I'm concerned about you because I see some things in your life that seems like you're going down a path that's not pleasing to the Lord. It's dangerous to you. I mean, think about it. I was reading the other day about Nathan the prophet coming to David and confronting him about his sin and you know, saying, thou art the man. I don't know how I would have taken that. But it seems like David was actually appreciative of it. Thankful that someone would call him to repentance and call him to restoration to God. Believe it or not, you need people to hold you accountable. You're not above that. Neither am I. Sometimes you need a word of encouragement when you're discouraged. Proverbs 25 and verse 11 says this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Have you ever just had someone come to you and maybe they didn't even know what was going on in your life or your heart, but they said something, they did something, just some gesture of love and kindness, just it helped you, it encouraged you. It called you to press on. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16 speaks of Jonathan going to David when David was on the run from King Saul. And it says that he went to him and he strengthened his hand in God. What a statement. Praise the Lord for brethren that will strengthen your hand in God. Someone that'll encourage you, someone that'll help you, someone that'll share a scripture verse with you, someone that'll pray with you, someone that'll come by and just say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Let me know what I can do to help you. I mean, it's a good thing to have someone to come alongside of you and encourage you. And by the way, that's part of what we're supposed to be doing as a church. I want to encourage you, don't come here and assemble together with the body and be so focused on yourself that you don't see other people. And maybe you say, well, I've got needs, I need encouragement, I've got burdens that I'm carrying. Let me just let you in on a secret. So does everyone else. You're not the only one that's hurting. All of us are. But if we'll get our eyes off of ourselves and start looking at other people and say, you know what, maybe there's someone that God wants me to go to encourage and just speak a kind word or give them a smile and a handshake and let them know I love them and you know, just pray with them, whatever the case is. I mean, God puts us together so that we can help one another up. We're here to be provoking one another to a closer relationship with God. I've mentioned this before, but I'm thankful. God has given me some friends in my life that every time I talk to them, I'm challenged to be in His Word more. Not because they say, Brian, you need to read the Bible more, but because just talking to them, I mean, it's like it's flowing out of them, and I see it, and I think, I want that. I've got friends that when I get around them, I think, man, that guy knows how to pray. I mean, you can't be around him without being challenged in that area. One of the most influential men in my life was missionary Milton Martin. Every time I got around Milton Martin, I got so excited about getting the gospel to the world. Finding ways, being creative. I mean, any time, it was like, every time I was around him, I just left like wanting to be a missionary to the world, you know? God puts people in your life. I could give you lists of names of people that have provoked me to a closer relationship with God. And here's the thing, it's wonderful to have friends like that, but I want to be a friend like that. I want to be that to other people. I want to have an influence on other people for good, because two are better than one. And part of the reason that two are better than one is because we need encouragement. We need someone to come alongside of us and challenge us and cheer us on and provoke us to love and to good works. Thirdly, two are better than one because of evil days. Two are better than one because of evil days. Look at verse number 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. And then it asks this question, but how can one be warm alone? I hope you understand the picture here is not just, hey, it's a little chilly tonight, and husband and wife jump in bed together and they kind of make each other a little bit more comfortable. I mean, that's certainly part of it, but there's more to it than that. The idea, how can one be warm alone? The picture is this: on a cold and frigid night, when you're out in the cold, at risk of freezing to death, one of the greatest things that you could have is someone else to help keep you warm. Think about this. It's not just about comfort, it's about survival. This life is filled with evil days, where sometimes we just need each other. We just need someone to be there. Sometimes the realities of life come on us like a freezing cold night. We feel like we just aren't going to make it. But God will give us someone else to comfort, encourage, and just help us just by being there. You've heard before that sometimes the best thing you can do for someone in a time of difficulty in their life is just be present. I've sat with people on the hardest days of their lives and been at a loss for words, because there's really nothing you can say. But you know what you can do? You can be there with them. Think about this picture, two lying together and having heat. They're not necessarily actively doing something to produce heat. They're not building a fire. They're not working at something. They're just there. Just their presence is helping you to survive. Folks, we live in some evil days. And life sometimes gets really difficult. And it's one thing when everything's going really smoothly in life and there are no problems. It's easy to say, well, I don't really need the church. It'd be easier to just walk away from it and isolate myself and not really be engaged, because church life is just hard. But then there are other days when you'll be thankful that God's given you others to come and be there, to be a source of heat in the middle of the frozen night. We need each other because of the evil days. And then fourthly, we need each other because there is an enemy. Verse number 12, if one prevail against him. If one prevail against him. Have you ever thought about this, that you have an enemy that attacks you? He attacks your mind. He attacks you through temptation. He works to discourage you. The Bible describes him as a roaring lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And it'd be easy for him to prevail. But it says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. We're likened to sheep. The church is called the flock of God. If you know anything about any animals that are prey, like sheep or other types of animals, when they are attacked by predators, typically those predators don't go after the center of the herd. They go after those who are straggling behind. They go after the weak. They go after those who separated from the fold. If you were to draw back and remove yourself from the church, or maybe not even remove yourself, but just kind of unplug to where you're not as connected with the body as God wants you to be, one of the greatest problems with that is that you are opening yourself up to attack from the enemy. Yeah, you can say, well, anyone with the Lord on their side is a majority, and that's true. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's true, but don't ever discount the fact that God often helps us through the institutions that He's put in place. And one of those institutions that He's put in place is the New Testament church. And you and I need this place. We need the church. And so as we consider this year, the importance of being perfectly joined together as a body in Christ, I just want to encourage you, don't forget, you need the church. It's not always easy. It's really not. Sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes you carry burdens that maybe you wouldn't carry if your life wasn't so wrapped up in the church. I've had people leave the church before and say things like this, well, it's nothing personal. And I think, you don't understand. Everything that happens in this church is personal. This is my life. We need each other. We need each other. Marriage isn't always easy, but it's worth it. Raising kids isn't always easy, but it's worth it. Serving God isn't always easy, but it's worth it. And being part of a church isn't always easy, but it's always worth it and necessary. And I just want to encourage you tonight to thank God for the church that He's put you in and commit by His grace to be all in, because we need each other.